Hi there. I want to welcome you to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. I'm so happy that you're here, and I want to congratulate and thank you for saying yes to the possibility of attracting the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I don't want you to just get a guy, but rather I want you to be with a guy who is just right for you and who makes your heart sing. I'm very passionate about helping single women who want to meet and attract your right guy because of my own journey of meeting and attracting my own Mr. Right and becoming an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. And I want to assure you, you're in the right place. If you're tired of wondering why you're still single, sick and tired of feeling alone or lonely, disappointed about the men you meet, frustrated about how past relationships have gone for you, wondering what's holding you back or standing in the way of you having the relationship of your dreams, starting to doubt if your right guy really exists out there, and finally, if you're really ready to meet and attract the right guy for you, then I want to assure you, you are absolutely in the right place. This virtual gathering is designed to help you see what is really possible for you, to give you a renewed sense of hope, inspiration, and tools and resources to help support you on your journey. And I'm thrilled to tell you that I've gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance to help you meet and attract your own right guy. And I'm thrilled and honored to interview our guest today, and I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself up from all distractions. It's my privilege and my pleasure to introduce and interview our wonderful guest, Leanne Webster. Welcome, Leanne.
Hi, Michelle. I'm so excited to be here.
So excited to have you here, and I think you're really in for a treat today, ladies, because Leanne offers a very unique perspective, and I think the things that she's going to be sharing are going to be of great interest to many of you. And the title of her content today is Dating at the Speed of Life, How to Make a Date in 5 Minutes. And you'll see how that applies as I introduce Leanne. So just a little bit about Leanne. Leanne Webster is the founder and chief busy girl of Busy Girl's Guide to Business. She's also the creator of Rapid Dating, the original non-denominational speed dating event. Her events have been featured in the Los Angeles Times, NBC, The Other Half, UPN News, KROQs, Kevin and Bean's show, and various other national and local media outlets. Leanne is a lawyer, coach, and entrepreneur with over 15 years' experience in marketing and business development in a range of industries. She's naturally gifted in processes and makes the techie stuff easy. She helps her clients set up their businesses so that they can focus on what they love to do instead of getting bogged down in administrative. Tivia. Leanne is
administrivia,
also,
it's a word I made up.
Administrivia. Yeah, I couldn't quite say that. I like that. Leanne is also a runner and a triathlete who is training for her first Ironman event. You go, girl. Way to go. And Leanne's work now is you know, helping entrepreneurs and businesses, but Leanne has a very interesting background, which is relevant to our telesummit, in that she ran the rapid dating speed dating events in Los Angeles for a period of time, and so I thought it might be really interesting to hear her perspective on some of the things that she learned during that period of time, and thought that those things would be very valuable to you. So as we get started today, Leanne, can you just give us a little bit more background about yourself and specifically about this piece of your life and some of the history behind that, just to give us a little bit of a sense for what we're going to be talking about today?
Sure, sure. My crazy speed dating chapter in my life. You know, it all started innocently enough when I had my corporate job and I was I had trained as a coach, and I was really into helping people, and in particular women, with what was next for them and creating a life that they really wanted. And love, of course, always plays a part in that. And I'm a single gal. I was at the time also. And I thought, gosh, I really, you know, I'm single and professional, and I'm just not meeting the people that I want to meet. So I should solve this problem. And the original concept was just a singles event company. So I would do brunches or museum trips or various activities like that. And I remembered, as I was starting the company, a few months before, I had seen this show on about speed dating. And at that time, it had started in the Jewish community. It was only done in the Jewish community, and it was being done at coffee houses. And I remember thinking, well, first, I'm not Jewish, so, you know, someone should do this for non-Jewish singles. And secondly, I'm like, gosh, coffee house, like, I really would be more fun with a cocktail and a different environment. So when I started doing my singles events, I thought, well, let me just throw a speed dating event in there. And my website traffic quadrupled, and everyone was like, oh, my God, I've been wanting to do this. And it just literally hit and exploded. And ultimately, it became the largest speed dating company in Southern California. And then we ended up licensing it and going into some other cities across the nation. And that's how we ended up on national television. And it was really one of those cool things with, like, the right idea at the right time.
Wow, that's really cool. That's really cool. So when you were doing this, you came up with a concept that's called the rotational dating concept. Is that speed dating, or what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, it's basically speed dating. I'm always so careful of the language I use. That's the lawyer background in me.
Yeah.
speed dating, it's used as a generic term, really, for those events where you meet someone every few minutes. Technically, it's a trademark term, but they just haven't really protected the trademark well. So I call it the Q-tip of dating events, you know?
Like, yeah.
My events were called rapid dating, but I'm not associated with the company anymore, so I'm always very careful about how I language that as well, and I kind of use rotational dating as a more of a generic term, which basically it's just meeting someone, changing every few minutes when you meet them.
Right. And so, Leanne, in your experience with this and running this company and this service for the period of time that you did, you know, what are some of the key insights or things that you notice specifically about differences between men and women?
Oh, I learned so much.
This is going to be juicy, ladies, I can tell.
One of the really big differences is that men are very singularly focused and they're results-oriented. And then women are multitaskers and they're process-oriented. And the way that shows up and the way that it really stood out at an event like this is the men would come to the event and they would, you know, of course, be like, yay, I'm going to meet 15, 20 women. But if they saw a woman that they really wanted to meet, you know, men are visual, so they're going to see the girl that they really like and want to meet her. If we had the men rotating, so they were the ones who had to, you know, move the chair every 5 minutes, they would get so focused on their goal, because they're results-oriented, so focused on wanting to meet the one woman that they would literally have a hard time focusing for the five girls that led up to the one that they wanted to meet. And then once they met the girl that they wanted to meet, they had a really hard time staying kind of in the game and continuing through with the, you know, 10 girls after that girl. So that's one of the reasons that we had the women rotate, because women, on the other hand, we're process-oriented and we're multitaskers, and we might see the guy that we want to meet, but if you say, oh, well, you need to meet 7 guys before you get to that guy, we go, okay, that's how it works, you know? able to focus and get through it, right? And we can be present. So the other way that manifested, I apologize, this is a long answer to your question.
No, I think it's interesting.
But it's really interesting to me. Even today, I don't run events, but I go to speed dating events because I really believe in the concept, and I'm single. But it's interesting, a lot of companies will have the men rotate, and the men are moving every time because it's kind of that old school belief of like the man should come to the woman. And we found that it was better to have the women rotate because, again, we can multitask and process differently. So when you would say to us, okay, you need to move always to the right and, you know, follow the numbers, and we've got our purse and our drink and our sheet and our pen, we can totally do all that, right? We're used to it. We can do all that. We can get to the next place, and we can be fine and sit down and start talking before we even get our drink down on the table, and we're there. Men, oh, my God, they're like, what? Where do I need to go? What do I need to take? Like, it was too much to process. And I don't mean to say that, like, men are thick, but I just mean it's just the way their brains work. So we found if the men were stationary, they were way more open. They didn't get as focused on the one person they wanted to meet. They were able to sit and just be, and every woman who came in front of them, they focused just on her, and they were happy to meet her, and our match percentage was a lot higher because the men were able to be open to the women that came in front of them and not distracted by all the things we were trying to make them do.
That's so interesting. That's really interesting, isn't it?
It's interesting and surprising. I didn't expect it to turn – I would never thought it would be that way.
Yeah, it's such an interesting insight. And, you know, it's funny, you know, I notice with my husband sometimes how single-focused he is. You know, as women, we always have, you know, we're always multitasking. We have, you know, all kinds of things going on in our heads. And, you know, I swear he could walk past the house burning down if he had a mission in mind, you know, if he was on a task.
Yes.
And I think this is so interesting because I also think this is some of the reasons why, you know, we as women might think, well, why doesn't he take out the garbage or why doesn't he, you know, think of this or that? Well, I think it's because they're so single-focused and goal-oriented like you're talking about.
Yeah.
That they just go on a mission, you know, they're just on a mission and they just, you know, everything else just is out of their minds and out of their sight. And it is really interesting how we are different in that way, and that's such a unique perspective. I wouldn't have expected that either, but now that you've been talking about this, it totally makes sense.
You know, another thing that was really interesting that I also was surprised to discover was the men. I always say men are like lone rangers, right? So they would sign up for the event late for the most part. So we would post up an event like usually about 2 months out. We'd get a couple guys initially, but we would always be the day before or the morning of spots open for men because it's the kind of part of it I think is an ego thing, right? They didn't want to, you know, I don't need to meet women. I don't need to pay to meet women, a little bit of that.
Right.
But when they would come, they would always come solo. Women travel in packs and pairs. So the event schedule would go out. We would fill up within like 24 hours because the women, they'd call all their girlfriends, we got to try this speed dating thing, you know, and they'd get four or six of them together, even just two. But they would, you know, make an event of it and they would want to have their support and go together. So women always filled up fast. But what was interesting is the women, you would think, from that perspective, that means that the women are going to be more open once they get there.
Right.
But the opposite was true. So easier to get the women in the door, but once they got there, they were a lot more closed off and a lot more picky about who they would say yes to. The men, on the other hand, harder to get in the door, but once they got there, it's almost like they decided, like, okay, I'm here, I'm going to try this, and they would say yes at least 50% more times than the women would.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is, Leanne? Any ideas?
I think that women tend to generally, especially in dating, we have the relationship pretty much plotted out in the first, like, hour, right?
Right.
You know, women sit across from a guy and they're like, well, I don't know if my mom would like him, and, what kind of kids? I mean, not that dramatic sometimes, but to some extent, we start, like, figuring out immediately with a guy, sussing out if they're going to fit in our life and be the guy we need them to be. Men are much more like, she's cute, I like her. Like, they're again, single focus. They're not plotting everything out and going all the way down the road. They're just kind of like, wow, she's pretty. Yes, they just, that's all they need to know that they want to go spend a little bit more time with you.
Hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting. That's really, really interesting. Yeah, so, these are interesting things to talk about because, you know, just having this awareness of, you know, some of the differences between men and women and the way our brains work and the way our, psyche works, can help us to, understand a little bit more about what's going on, particularly in those early stages of meeting someone.
Yeah.
And, I think sometimes I have to laugh because, in talking with my clients and reflecting back on my own decades of dating, I used to joke around and say that I was going to write a book called Dating for Decades because it felt like it, went on through the centuries, basically.
Right.
and chronicle all of my experiences. But as I speak with women, so many times they'll say, I wonder what he's thinking. I wonder what he's thinking. Or they'll, have gone on a date or have spent time with a man and they're like, I wish I knew what he was thinking. Or even when they're with him, they're wondering what he's thinking. And, I have to laugh at this because, truly, we as women, we tend to analyze everything and overanalyze everything and break everything down and think about every word that was said
and
every piece of the conversation and what did it mean when he said this or is
there a
meaning behind that, right? And the truth is, ladies, this is just the truth. The men are not thinking about it nearly that hard.
No, not at all.
They're not home obsessed. They're not, for the most part, they're not home obsessing over every word or every thing that was said.
They've never gone home and called their guy friend after a date and been like, well, when I did whatever, she said blah, blah, blah. What do you think that means?
Right. And we as women, we can have, 3-hour conversations with our girlfriends debriefing from an encounter with a man. So it is kind of hilarious when you think about it, the differences, for the most part, where you're talking about this, it's making me laugh because, they're not going much further than, she's cute, I'm in.
Right. And we're like, well, I don't know, he seems kind of short. Would the kids be really short? Because I'm just not,
Exactly.
What kind of food does he like? What religion is? I don't know if I could really date someone who's not the same religion. Like, it's like, oh, my God.
Right. We have a tendency to skip about 35 steps ahead, right? So that's kind of funny. That makes me laugh. So, Leanne, I know you said you're a big fan of this type of experience, rotational or speed dating. Tell us why you think that it works.
Well, first of all, from a pure numbers perspective, I mean, when else are you going to be in a room where you know that the, let's say, 15 people of the opposite sex are single, available, and looking to meet someone, and you can meet them all in one night? I mean, that would take forever, anywhere else. Plus, I really just, I know we're so much in the techie world, and I might be dating myself here since I'm over 40, but I just really like to meet people in person, and online, I find it's really a struggle for me to feel connected. And it also is, if you go like Match.com or one of the other, there's a ton of sites, but I kind of don't like that all of the information is out there to begin with, because I think part of the fun thing of meeting someone is that feeling their energy and being around them and seeing how you feel around them, but also discovering things about them. So I kind of hate it when it's like you already know their five favorite foods and restaurants and whatever. I like to sit in front of them and be like, you know, what's your favorite kind of food? And then they'll tell you and you have a whole discussion around it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think numbers perspective, and I think really just that in-person connection, so you can get a feel for whether you, you know, we've all seen where people on paper seem like a perfect match, and then you get in front of them, and there's just no energy between the two of you.
Right.
And you can figure that out within 5 minutes for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, our lives tend to be so busy, and particularly for, you know, professional women who have careers, or, you know, women who may have, you know, be single with young children or whatever, you know, time is definitely of the essence. And so
Yeah. The
efficiency of this kind of experience, I can see where it could be really valuable.
Yeah. Plus, I think that, and of course, there's exceptions to every rule, but it's easy to be online somewhere and either not really be looking for someone or be, frankly, married or, you know, not really in a position where you're looking to have a relationship. And to sign up and show up in person at an event, that's a pretty big step. And we found that, of course, like I said, there's exceptions, but usually you're not going to be married, you know what I mean, or not someone
mm-hmm.
who's just, you know, poking around to see what's out there. You're probably going to be at least wanting to date, if not be in a relationship, if you show up physically at an event.
Yeah, I think that's very true. You probably are getting more sincere people. You're not necessarily getting people that are people are, I guess, less likely to misrepresent themselves and
mm-hmm.
where they're at, you know, if they're actually having to physically show up for an event
right.
than what they might post online.
Right. And plus, you don't have the we've all been there with the guy who, you know, says he's 6 foot and then he's 5'4", and you're like,
right.
And you think I wouldn't notice that? You can see him in person, so you don't have to worry about any of that.
Right. And the picture he's got out there is 15 years old and
right.
50 pounds ago, right?
Right.
Exactly. So here's a big question that I think a lot of women would be interested in, Leanne, and, you know, I think this would apply both to this rotational or speed dating concept, but also just in, you know, initial conversations that women might be having with men. What are some of the best questions that you would recommend to ask during, like, the first 5-10 minutes of meeting someone?
Yeah. And by the way, almost everything we'll talk about today can apply, like you said, just to the initial meeting with someone. So it doesn't necessarily apply to the speed dating events. That's a great point that we're meeting people all the time, you know?
Right.
So the best questions are questions that are going to be light and give you insight on the person or potentially a common interest. So what do you do for fun? Where do you like to travel? What's your favorite movie or book or song or saying, and why? What did you do last weekend? When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up? What's on your nightstand? That's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that.
So, you know, things that put the other person in a frame of mind where they're talking about hopefully activities, again, so potential common interests, but also things that are going to make them feel good and be happy to talk about. Because the last thing you want to do is have someone, you know, talk about something that they don't like, because that really just kind of drains the energy and it moves it in a direction you don't want to be in.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, I think that this is a really important point, because I think that sometimes the whole prospect of meeting someone or, you know, finding love or, you know, deciding who you want to be with, and especially as we get a little bit older in life and get a little bit more jaded or have had a few more ups and downs, I think it can seem so heavy, you know?
Yeah.
And we can suck all of the joy and the fun out of it. And
right.
So I always, you know, when I'm speaking with my clients, I always like to remind them, you know, that while the decision of who you decide you want to spend your life with or be in a committed relationship with is a significant decision and certainly of deep importance, we have to remember that, you know, romance and love is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be some joy in it. And I think, you know, focusing on some of these lighter questions and, you know, being able to learn about someone in a way that is, you know, doesn't feel like we're giving them a job interview.
Right.
Because that's another thing that happens is, you know, we're so focused on, you know, whether this is or isn't the right guy.
Right.
We're you know, we're putting them almost like through the rigors of a, you know, an intense job interview.
Yes, right.
And it sucks right. The joy and the fun out of the whole experience, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the we have people who would do that all the time, and it used to crack me up because they would have basically like a checklist. I did have some people who showed up with literally a list of questions.
Yeah.
and you know, they would pull it out when the person would sit down. That just makes it so impersonal because it's like, you know, are you allergic to anything? No, check. Do you want children? Yes, check. You know, are you interested in a long-term relationship? And you're like, geez, oh, man, like, you know. But so I like to look at it, and I actually apply this to men, women, and really anybody I date. Like, I like to have a couple of these more fun questions in my back pocket, and I ask them of everybody because I try to look at it as a discovery mission when I'm out in the world. And, you know, everyone we cross paths with, some people it's for 5 minutes and some people it's for a lifetime, but there's something interesting about everybody. And so if you kind of look at it like, let me figure out what's interesting about this person, like what makes them unique, what makes them fun, what can they share with me that I might not already know or have seen, then that's a really interesting way to go through life. And that takes a lot of pressure off of the whole dating thing.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, so I think that's so important to remember. And it does crack me up that people would show up with lists of questions because that really does look like a job interview. It not only feels like it, it actually looks like it, right?
Right. Yeah, we'll be reviewing your answers and getting back to you on whether you qualify for
this. Exactly. Exactly. Go home and wait by the phone.
Right.
So, Leanne, I know that you have three questions that will break a connection in under 5 minutes. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, and the first one I know you're going to be surprised about because everyone and their mother asked this question, and it's, what do you do for a living?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that can break a connection is because two main reasons, actually. One is people have a lot of assumptions that they attach to jobs. So, I remember forever ago when I practiced law, I was out one night with some girlfriends and somebody came up and said, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm a lawyer. And he was like, I hate lawyers, and walked away.
Oh.
And I was like, wow, you don't even, you don't know anything about me, you know? But people do that. They have a lot of assumptions on what it means to be a doctor, a lawyer, you know, a secretary, a trash collector, an entrepreneur, fill in the blank. And so you don't want to yourself do that, and you don't want to have someone do that to you, to tie things to you that really might not apply, you know?
Right.
The other thing is you don't know what kind of day someone had and if they love their job or hate their job. And, you know, when we would do these events, they would be at the end of the day, of course, after work. And if somebody had a bad job and you said, what do you do for a living? And it takes them right back into that mode of like, oh, God, you know, I'm a stockbroker and it was a horrible day. And, you know, it just drains that energy and puts them in that space where they're thinking about something that they don't like. And that's exactly where you do not want them to be when you're meeting them and figuring out if there's a potential date, you know, potential there. So that's one big one. And people ask that all the time.
Yeah.
It's a hard one to get away from because it's kind of a fallback for a lot of people.
Yeah, it seems like it would be one of the first three questions in most conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Like this.
Oh, yeah. Because, and people ask it, first of all, because it's easy, and also because they are going to make assumptions, right? They don't realize that they're doing it that way, but they're doing it because they think that they're learning about the person, which they sometimes you are, but sometimes you're not.
Right.
The another one that is bad is where do you live? And part of this is a safety issue. So sometimes people, you know, women in particular, don't want to say, well, I'm, you know, at Racine and Webster or whatever, because they're kind of, you don't know the person enough yet to know how safe you can be.
Right.
So an alternative to that one is, you know, what neighborhood are you in, or what area do you like to spend time in, or, you know, there's ways to find that out. And if someone wants to reveal that, that's great. But kind of just saying, where do you live, can feel a bit too direct at times.
Yeah, and I think, like you say, particularly for women, but even men might think you know, that they're being threatened with the golden age of stalking if you're,
right,
you know, really inquisitive about.
Like, all of a sudden, you're, like, at the Starbucks that they go to every day. Like,
right, right, right.
And then the other ones are, I'm actually going to give you four, sort of. So, of course, there's the golden ones that everyone knows. Politics and religion and, you know, death penalty and abortion and all of this, really.
Right.
Health insurance, I think, now should be added to the list. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not the warmest, fuzziest opening,
right, right,
conversation.
So, you know, that's definitely avoid those. And then any yes, no questions, because, again, we're trying to discover, we're trying to find out commonalities, you're trying to learn about the person and where you can find some connection. And so if you're asking or being asked yes, no questions, it's just, you know, if the conversation doesn't go anywhere. Do you like this? Yes. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
You like that? No.
Right. Yeah, the more open-ended questions are a lot more likely to get a conversation going. And let's face it, there are, you know, since we're talking to women here, there are a lot of men who are kind of men of few words. So if the
yes.
questions are closed-ended, you might just get a yes or a no.
Exactly.
And then you're kind of like, ooh, well, that's not
right.
going so well. You know, another question that I love as, you know, when you ask an interesting question, particularly if someone is saying something that is interesting or that you sense there might be something more to, you know, learn or discover, is just to say as a follow-up question, you know, tell me a little bit more about that, or,
yeah,
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Can you expand on that? And I think, you know, that also invites someone to, you know, share a little bit more, makes them perhaps, you know, have a sense that you're interested in what they're saying.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think men really can respond to that because, you know, they love an opportunity to, I don't know if the word show off, but, you
mm-hmm,
know, to
mm-hmm.
display their
yeah.
wisdom, their knowledge, or their expertise on a certain topic, or even, you know, what they might be passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely. They, it's funny because showed up in my head too. So they would, and I agree, it's not necessarily about showing off, but they do. They want, like, to be respected leaders, you know. They like to know that you're interested in their opinion and what they're doing, and that's a great way to show it.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's, for a woman, it's a way to express interest without saying, hey, baby, want my number, right?
Right, right.
It's just a way to, you know, more or less kind of express interest in a more feminine and subtle way.
Right,
so
right.
What would you say are three mistakes that singles make when meeting someone for the first time?
Well, one, just following on this thread that we've been talking about, are the bad questions. And in line with the bad questions is that whole coming off too intense. And coming off, you know, two of these three go hand in hand. One is asking a bad question flat out. The other is having too many questions or being too intense with your questions. So, like we were saying, the checklist, you know, the kind of like, would you be willing to relocate for a you know what I mean? Like bringing down the job interview list. Or I had one person one time, so funny but bad. She wanted to ask a moral question. Like, her thing was, you know, let me kind of get a judge on how, on where someone's moral compass is. So her, she literally asked, how do you feel about the death penalty, to everyone who sat in front of her.
Oh, boy.
And she didn't get matches. I mean, she, the poor girl, because no one wants to talk about that. And it's intense and it's heavy. And you're like, wow, if you're like this in the first 5 minutes, what are you going to be like, you know, 6 months down the road?
Right.
Yeah. The other thing, and this might actually sound a little counterintuitive, but the other thing is that being too easily dismissive, and I think women are a lot more guilty of this than men are. You know, we, as we've been saying, women tend to kind of go down the path a little bit, and, you know, we're sizing men up when we meet them, and, you know, they mentioned that they didn't have fun at Thanksgiving, so that must mean they don't like their family, and I want someone family-oriented, out. You know, we tend to dismiss really quickly,
mm-hmm.
and on things that aren't necessarily I don't want to say they're not that important, but that shouldn't be real deal breakers, or that once, if you dug a little deeper and found out a little bit more, would turn out to not be a deal breaker. So,
yeah,
you know,
so we're disqualifying on the technicalities,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, oh, that's a great way to put it. Yes. Yes. And, I mean, I've been guilty of this myself in the sense that I don't want children. I'm about to turn 45, so it's becoming a moot point anyway. But
yeah.
But it's one of my deal breakers. It's never been part of my life plan. And so I don't do it as much anymore because I like to have more of a conversation around it. But, you know, I used to, if I heard a guy say, blah, 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 and, you know, when I have kids or someday I'll tell my children, or, you know, people make comments like that in passing. And so I would think, oh, he wants kids, out. He's not a potential mate for me. And the truth is, I even say things like that sometimes, not intending to actually tell my children. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
More just, that's kind of a way of phrasing things sometimes. So we dismiss really way too quickly on for things that, in if you dig a little deeper, it might turn out to not be an issue.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. And I also think that, you know, oftentimes our, you know, someone that we could be really compatible with and have a really enjoyable and satisfying relationship doesn't always show up in the exact package that we might expect. And, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, what woman kind of doesn't want tall, dark, and handsome? But on the other hand, you know, if he shows up and he has gray hair, but he has all of these wonderful, amazing qualities, you might want to take a second look, right?
Right. You know, my friend felt exactly the same way. She ended up marrying a guy who, I think he's an inch shorter than her. And she, for the longest time, you know, only wanted to date tall guys. And then this guy shows up, and she goes, you know, Leanne, at the end of the day, he's generous, and he's loving, and he's thoughtful, and he's, like, the best guy ever. And if the only, quote-unquote, problem I can find with him is that, you know, he's short, then that's not bad. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Like, what the hell am I looking for, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and you kind of have to ask yourself, you know, would I rather be happy and have this satisfying relationship, or would I rather, you know, hold out for, you know, someone that is maybe never going to come?
Right, and wear heels.
Right.
wear heels with the jackasses all you want.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that. That's funny. That's a great way to say it. So I know, Leanne, that, and I'm sure you observed this a great deal in the events that you ran, and I know that our body language really communicates a lot, and I'm sure you made a lot of observations about body language running these events, and I wonder if you can share with the women on the call a little bit about body language and how your body language shows up in this kind of thing, and how you might show with body language your interest.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's so interesting because I don't know that we're fully aware of this, but 50% of your communication is actually nonverbal. So what you're doing with your body is actually more important than the words that you're saying and the tone that you're saying them in. And, you know, it's actually pretty simple to show someone that you're interested. A lot of it involves looking at how you're sitting. Don't cross your arms, you know, keep your arms open or to the side. Not crossing your legs so that they're not causing a barrier. And by that I don't mean sitting wide-legged. You know what
right,
I mean?
right.
We want to be ladies. But
right.
But more crossing at the ankles, you know, and kind of tucking your feet back or so you're not kind of creating that X. But also maintaining the eye contact. You can even, depending on how you're sitting with someone and, you know, the range and things, but it's very appropriate to do like a light touch. Like I laugh a lot, as you can tell.
Right.
And when I'm meeting people in person, I've often, especially if it's a guy that I'm kind of interested in, I'll kind of like laugh and then I might like touch the arm as I'm laughing or touch the shoulder and say, oh, look at that, make some sort of a physical connection. Of course, very lightly and appropriately, but it's a good way to show someone that you're wanting to connect a little bit more with them.
Yeah.
And the other thing is you want to make sure that you're, because sometimes people say, well, I'm open and I'm talking and I'm interested and I'm asking questions and I don't understand why I'm not connecting with people. And so sometimes it's like the verbal doesn't match the physical. So you can be saying and open and doing all that, but if you're leaning back, so you're not leaning towards the person, you're leaning back in your chair and you've got your arms crossed, it doesn't matter what's coming out of your mouth because you're showing physically that you're just not interested in what they're doing or saying.
Right. Right, and I'm sure you observed this too, which I think is a really important thing to mention while we're on the concept of body language, and that's
yeah.
the eye contact piece. What
yeah.
would you say about that?
You have to have it, not in the death stare, like, psychotic way, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. You don't want to be staring someone down.
right. But, you know, I always think about this in terms of what do I like when I'm talking to someone? You know, when you feel a difference when you're talking with someone, if they're looking at you and appropriately kind of looking away, but if they're looking into your eyes, if they're, you know, holding your attention while they're speaking versus someone who's looking at, this is a really big pet peeve of mine, looking at their phone. You know, if you're trying to talk to someone and they're playing on their phone or texting or they're looking around. You know, we've all had those conversations where people are looking kind of behind you or off to the side, and it's almost like they're looking for someone else to talk to. And
right.
You're like, hey, like, right here. So I'm keeping it in the face region. So, again, we're not doing the death stare and kind of doing that, but maintaining that eye contact so people know you're interested and you want to hear and you're there and you're present. I think especially with all the technology today, it's really, really, really important to show people that you're present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, I think sometimes the lack of eye contact comes from you know, maybe a lack of confidence or
mm-hmm.
Insecurities, you know, because we can, as women, we can have these little, you know, audios going on in our mind, you know, I'm
right.
too this, I'm too that, I'm not enough
right.
this, I'm not enough that, or does he like me, do I like him? You know, we have so much going on in the head,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes that, you know, causes somewhat of a distraction, and we're not able to be fully present in the moment.
Right.
So I just think this is really worth mentioning, you know, to keep in mind. And again, this applies, you know, to any kind of interaction with a potential dating partner or life partner or, you know, just even in our interactions with each other. It's such a gift when we can really give someone the gift of just being fully present, even for
yeah.
a moment, right?
Yeah, huge. It's huge. A really safe and fun way to test this is if you ever make eye contact like and hold it a little bit with a child or an infant, because after a couple of seconds, they will just light up with the fact that you've connected with them, and you don't even have to say anything. And I know that sounds weird. I, again, don't mean to be, like, staring down children while you're
no.
out in the world.
Doesn't come across like that.
but they're so innocent, and it's really fun to see how much they light up when you just look at them and smile and keep that eye contact. It's like they can't get away from you then.
Yeah, it's so interesting because sometimes I feel like we kind of go through life and we're all so busy and we're all so distracted and we're all so caught up in our own stuff that we sometimes don't really even see each other, right?
Yes, yes, so true.
People are just dying just to have, you know, that kind of connection and to feel like they're seen and to have someone be fully present for them, even if it's just for a moment. You know, it's interesting because I sometimes feel like in my coaching practice that some of my clients, you know, one of the reasons why the coaching is so valuable to them is just because they have someone to talk to that's fully present for them for a period of time. And that's becoming even more and more rare, you know, in the ways that we now communicate with each other, you know, through technology and things like that. And yet there's still this need within all of us, you know, to connect with others in a more deep and meaningful way.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, I try to practice this too with this will sound really simple, but like when I go to Starbucks and get a coffee, if you notice, a lot of people, even though they're technically interacting with the person behind the register, they don't, it's such a, what do I want to say, the transaction is happens so often and so quick that they sometimes don't even take the time to connect with that person. So I always just take a moment to look them in the eyes when they, you know, hi, welcome to Starbucks, what do you want? I always, or how are you doing? I'll say, I'm doing great. How are you doing? Like, I just take that 10 seconds to ask them the question back. And usually they're so surprised when I ask them a question. Like, you know what I mean? And didn't just say, you know, venti, mocha, blah, 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 blah. That they really love it. And it's like, it's just connecting in a really, really super simple way with as many people as you can throughout your day.
Yeah.
I think makes a huge difference both for them and for you.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I just love that concept of us, you know, being able to focus and being present in the moment and being able to give each other those kinds of gifts in our interactions. And it's just something that we kind of sometimes have to, you know, think about and be aware of because it can be so easy to kind of just subconsciously tune everything out and be in our own little world so much. And I know this happens for so many women who are so busy with so many demands on their time and resources and you know, they're focusing on meeting everybody else's needs and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, sometimes you just kind of have to take a step back and catch your breath and say, wait, I'm going to be present in this moment.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, so here's a question that I think would be interesting to know, not just in the context of, you know, rotational or speed dating, but also kind of in, you know, perhaps online, you know, dating sites or things like that. What do you recommend, Leanne, if you don't get any matches? So let's say I showed up to one of these events and nobody chose me. And I walk away going, hey, what's wrong with me? You know, and then, you know, those thoughts are going to start spiraling in my mind and I'm going to think nobody wants me. I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm too that. Whatever.
Right. The first thing, and this is probably going to be a hard one to swallow. One is just don't take it so personally, which I know it feels very personal because you're like, I went and I put myself out there and I didn't match with anyone, and it feels very personal. You don't know what's going on the other side of the table. Just like when we're out in the world and you smile at the cute guy and he doesn't smile back or doesn't walk over or nothing happens. You don't know what's going on with them with that day, or, you know, maybe you wore the same sweater that their ex-girlfriend wore, or, you know what I mean? Like, when you might have triggered something that you have no idea what that might be. And so to a degree, most of this you can't take personally. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say even to a degree. You just can't, because it's so, otherwise you'll just never go outside.
Right.
You can't give other people that much power. But the other thing I would do beyond those kind of that first level is really look at what did you do at the event. So were you open? What questions did you ask? You know, a lot of the things we've been talking about, you know, can come into play. Did you ask the wrong questions? Were you too intense? Were you giving a job interview? Were you, was your body language not showing that you were interested? And frankly, how open were you, right? So some people would come to the event and not get any matches, and we would look back at their sheet and we'd say, well, you only said yes to 2 people out of 20. So if you know, you're banking a lot if you only want those 2 people to say yes to you, and one of those people, you know, might have connected more with someone else, or again, you look like the ex, or there's a million reasons why they might not have said yes to you. So if you come in and you're not very open and you're not putting yourself out there, then you can't expect that other people are going to do the same to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this is a really interesting point, too, because I also think, you know, one thing that we sometimes can forget, because, you know, men kind of seem like, you know, big, rough, tough, invulnerable characters at times.
Right.
And I think sometimes it's easy to forget that, you know, it's a very big thing for a man to put himself out there as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they
feel very vulnerable,
and, you know, they're putting their male egos on the line, which, you know, that's not an easy thing to do for a man. And I think, you know, if we can kind of approach this whole concept, not only with, you know, compassion and kindness for ourselves, but also with those that we're interacting with, I think that opens up a lot of possibility for, you know, making those connections as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's, I mean, we really can, in the whole world of dating, I think we can have a lot more compassion for each other, you know.
Yeah.
It can be rough out there. So my friend always says, put them back a little bit better than you found them. You know?
Oh, I love that.
You know, which can mean a lot of things, but it's like, yeah, there's no, you know, no reason to beat somebody up about something or if they don't do something right or whatever. Just, you know, have a little compassion.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned earlier, Leanne, something about, you know, the fact that every person that we meet has something to offer and something that we might be able to learn from them or appreciate in them. And I think if we can approach this, you know, with clarity about what, you know, is important to us, but at the same time, you know, with that breath of kindness mixed in, I think that that can create, you know, whether or not it's a love connection, it can at least create a positive interaction with someone.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So I'm thinking that you probably have some funny stories to share about maybe some things that may have happened at these events. Would you care to share any with us?
Sure. Yeah, I hosted hundreds of these events. And I swear there is, almost everyone was different in its own way. You know what I mean? One of my, I have 2 things that pop into mind when you ask me that. One is we had this guy who showed up, and he was a little rough around the edges. He was ex-military, and you know, he had like the shaved head, and he was kind of intense. So he was, you know, we keep talking about don't be too intense, and you know, and he was a little intense. And so one of his first dates, he took her hand and had her tap like on the top of his head, you know, shaved head. You know, you feel that? You feel that? And she's like, yeah. And he goes, that's a metal plate. Like, launches this story about how he broke his skull open when he was in the military, and and the woman was like, okay, like, you know, she didn't know what to say to that. So
yeah.
We had to go tell him that probably wasn't the most appropriate thing to be discussing in his 5 minutes.
Right.
That might not lead to a lot of matches. One of my other fun things that happened was, and I was doing these in Southern California, and I started them in 2001, so only a few years after the whole OJ thing happened.
Right.
And so we were we used to do them at the Lowe's Santa Monica Beach Hotel, and they have a beautiful lounge. And so one time we went, and there was this attractive man sitting off to the side. He wasn't there for the event. He was meeting somebody else. And I thought, God, that guy looks familiar. And so I went over in my way and was like, hey, you know, what's your name? My name's Mark. Oh, Mark, you know, you look really familiar. I met you before. No. And I start going through, do you go to this event? And I'm thinking I know him through networking. And no. So I realize it's Mark Furman, you know, the cop. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's hilarious.
He had been married when that whole trial thing went, but he ended up getting divorced, and he was single at the time. The person he was meeting ended up not showing up, and we had a space for men, so he ended up joining our event. And it was hilarious to watch, because his name, we just did first names on the name tag, so it was Mark. And so to watch the reactions of people when they would, after they would leave his table and be putting together that they just met Mark Furman.
That's great.
And people would tell me, like, this one woman said, oh, you know, I was, wow, you know, Mark, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? Of course, bad question. She didn't pay attention to my instructions.
What do you do for a living?
Right. And he said, I'm an author, because he wasn't a cop anymore, right? I'm an author. Oh, what do you write? I write true crime. Oh, crime. Oh, you must have a criminal, you know, a law enforcement background. Yeah, I'm a former LAPD. Oh, okay. You know, and she's asking all these questions. As the bell rings, she's like, oh, my God, you know.
Yeah, I remember seeing you on TV.
Right. And the poor guy who was, like, at the next station all night, all he heard was, you know, I just met Mark Furman. Like, we had to let him come to another event because the guy after Mark, like, didn't get any real connections because everyone was freaking out about meeting Mark Furman.
Oh, that's funny. That's very funny. Yeah, I'm sure you witnessed a lot of very interesting and entertaining things while you were
around
these events. It must have been fascinating to watch, I would imagine.
It really was. It really. One of my other ones. One of my other favorites was it was actually a guy who was a friend of mine. He was single, and he came to a lot of events. He thought I was like the best friend in the world to know, right?
Right.
So he ended up meeting this girl, and they went on a couple dates, nothing serious, but they were still in that kind of like early, been on a couple dates but not dating exclusively stage.
Yeah.
And they then both signed up for another event and not realizing that the other one was going to be there, right?
Right.
So the good thing is it could have been really awkward. They both handled it really well. And they ended up going out after the event, which I thought was really funny. And they continued to date after the event. So
wow.
it was kind of that like, I guess we're not exclusive because you're here meeting other people too, you know?
That's hilarious. Oops.
Right.
That's very, very funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it was just fascinating watching people interact with each other, and I'm sure it was a very educational experience in many ways, and probably learned a lot of interesting insights that have been helpful to you in your own interactions and communication with people, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I learned so much. And I mean, a lot of it, honestly, really just breaks down to what we've been talking about a lot today, which is just that kind of energy that you're bringing to things, because you could see when people were coming into the events, you really could pick out who was going to have a good night and who wasn't going to have a good night, and a lot of it just had to do with what they were walking in the room with.
Right. Yeah, and I think sometimes we forget about that. You know, we can so easily create our own blocks or sabotage ourselves without even realizing it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, looking back on it and, you know, my own journey to love was, a landmine of, experiences. But, I can, as I, grew and learned and progressed, you know, I could see that without realizing it, I had been self-sabotaging so so right. often in so many ways.
Right. Yeah.
So it's all part of the, you know, it's all part of the learning and growing opportunity that relationships provide to us. And mm-hmm. the truth is, you know, we never fully master relationships. There's always so much more to learn.
Oh, yeah.
And every interaction offers us an opportunity, you know, to perhaps refine our skills or, you know, to understand important things about ourselves or to, you know, give us a different perspective or a point of view. And
yep.
so I just think it's so valuable to, you know, to put ourselves in situations where we have these opportunities for, you know, socially interacting in this way.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
So, Leanne, what were some of the results that people experienced after meeting at your events?
We had, you know, it's all across the board. We did have marriages. We had long-term relationships and short-term relationships. But we also had a lot of friendships and even some business deals that came as a result of it. And what we found was the people who had the best, quote-unquote, results were the people who came with that open attitude that we've just been talking about. And they weren't coming with an agenda or like, you know, I'm going to meet my future husband. They were coming in to just be open and explore and meet people. And those invariably were the people who had the most matches and also made the most other types of connections other than romantic connections.
Right. So, again, it's that energy that we've been talking about of
yeah.
what you're showing up with, right? And
yeah.
kind of the receptivity and perhaps being in the moment and being able to enjoy the interactions without, you know, running someone through the rigors of a job interview.
Right.
That kind of thing. Is that kind of what you mean with that?
Yep, that's exactly what I mean. Very well stated.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm really excited about an offer that you have for our listeners, Leanne, because I know that this is exclusive at this point. There's no other way to get this, right? Leanne has a wonderful, wonderful ebook called Dating at the Speed of Life, and she's going to tell us all about it. But in order to get it, you would want to go to www.readyfortherightguy.com/Leanne, and that's LEEANN. So again, that's readyfortherightguy.com/Leanne. And this ebook is selling for the unbelievable price of $9.97. So, I mean, it's like a no-brainer. Why wouldn't you want to pick it up?
Yeah.
And Leanne's going to tell us a little bit more about this.
It's you are so right, it's exclusive. This quite literally is not available anywhere else. So the only way to get it is to go to the URL that you mentioned, the readyfortherightguy.com/Leanne. And, you know, I've had so much fun putting this together. It's over 80 pages long. It's got a lot of the things we talked about today and a lot more, and a lot more detail. So it's, you know, what to do to prepare for the event, how to pick the right event, how to make the most of your night, what to do after the event to, you know, maximize your experience post-event. And all of the things that I talk about in the book can be applied not just to speed dating events, but also to meeting someone out there in life and, you know, kind of working that muscle of being open and making the most of all of your interactions in life. And what's super cool about it is, I don't mean to say that bragging, but...
brag away, girl.
Besides, you know, the tips and the secrets and the things that I learned through my experiences of, you know, hosting all these events, I also have a section where I interviewed over 30 people who each got 5 or more matches. So matches are when you say yes to someone and they say yes to you, so it's mutual. So these people were very successful. I've interviewed men and women, and they give their tips in their own words of why they had a good experience, what they did, how they approached the event, and what they did after, and the results from doing it. So it's really a comprehensive guide to what you can do to make the most of those 5 minutes. And literally $9.97, I mean, that's That's almost a cup of coffee right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's nothing. And, you know, the thing that I think is so, you know, important about this is, you know, you're investing your time to listen to the interviews. And I really believe, in fact, I know because I've experienced it, you know, even one concept or one idea can literally open up a whole new world of possibility for you. One little shift.
Oh, yeah.
One little shift can make all the difference in the world. And
absolutely.
So it's like, why would you not invest? You know, we invest in ourselves in so many ways, in, you know, getting our educations or preparing for our job or preparing for our work. And yet when it comes to love and relationships, we all kind of sometimes expect that we just are going to know all of this stuff innately and naturally without, you know, investing time and energy and effort into it. And it's almost like saying, you know, I think I'll speak German, and I'm just going to sit here and, you know, wait until it, you know, comes to me, and I absorb it through the atmosphere. I mean, that's almost the approach we take to love and relationships sometimes. And
that's,
you know,
such a great analogy.
Yeah, and while it seems like, you know, for many people, love and relationships come very simply and very naturally. In reality, as I've looked at it, Leanne, you know, a lot of times there's actually a lot of intention that's going on behind the scenes. And what
yeah.
I mean by that is people are actually putting themselves in situations where they can meet someone. And, you know, we've been talking about this type of speed dating, and, you know, an equivalent might be, you know, some of the online stuff or, you know, putting yourself out there socially. But you know, we sometimes just kind of think, you know, that these things just happen for other people without any effort on their part, where in reality there may have been a lot more intention behind what's going on and what's happened than sometimes
right.
we see, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes when things look so simple, seem to come so easily or so simply for others, they put a lot of work into it to make it look so simple.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm going to give you the last word, some kind of parting thoughts here in a second, Leanne, but I just again want to say that domain name for the ebook, the Dating at the Speed of Life ebook. Again, you would go to www.readyfortherightguy.com/Leanne. And Leanne, I really want to thank you for generously sharing from your wisdom and experience with us today. And just wanted to see if you have a few parting thoughts or words you'd like to leave our listeners with.
Oh, I would love to. I really want to thank you, too. This has been such a fun experience, and I haven't talked about the dating stuff for a while, and I love it. But the big thing I want to leave is just to be open. Be open and be present, because you just don't know what's coming down your path.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, and that just saying that, you know, I almost felt my own self just feel like, that seems so simple, and yet it's so not simple sometimes, right?
Exactly.
And it's such an important piece. And sometimes we think and believe that we're really open and ready for a relationship, and so we're not, and yet we're not. We're self-sabotaging in some ways. And so it's, you know, it's a really honest question that we can all ask ourselves is, you know, am I open and am I ready?
Yeah.
And am I in that space?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So again, Leanne, I want to thank you so much. It's been great fun to interview you, and it's been really great to get your perspective and your thoughts. And I also want to thank all of you as our participants today. I know life is busy, and, you know, I just want to congratulate you for making the space and time in your life for what you most want. And I do want to quickly remind you that during the Ready for the Right Guy Summit, you will have access to the best wisdom from over 20 love and relationship experts. You'll be able to listen to the broadcasts, and then the replays will be available for 48 hours after each interview. Now, knowing, though, that life is crazy and busy and you're unlikely to be able to catch all of the interviews live, and based on the fact that what we've talked about is that even one shift or one idea can literally open up a whole new world of possibility for you, I really want to invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit VIP package. and purchase the downloadable MP3 recordings of all of the interviews so you can listen multiple times at your own convenience and have these calls in your own personal audio library. We also have some special bonuses to go along with this, and you can get special event pricing for the VIP upgrade package for only $97 at www.readyfortherightguy.com/ready. So again, one more time, readyfortherightguy.com/ready. So thank you so much for being here with us today. I again want to thank our special guest, Leanne Webster, and I look forward to having you with us for more of the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. And Leanne and I are sending you much love, many blessings, and wishing you happiness as you get ready for your right guy. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.